Welcome back to Green Lines. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm so excited to welcome a new guest to my show, but certainly someone that you all know very well. Pastor Kerry Shook is with us. You know Kerry and Chris Shook from the Houston area. They've got such a powerful ministry, huge church. Just everything they do just seems to be blessed by God and in great favor. But they've had a tough life. They've had a lot of tough experiences. And I've written a great book called The Gift of One Day, How to Find Hope When Life Gets Hard. So we're going to interview Pastor Shook just after this word from our sponsor.
We live in troubled times. If you're searching for how to find peace in your life, this book will help you find the answer. In Our Eyes Are on You, Dr. Bob Sauvel, founding and senior pastor of Passion Church in Tucson, Arizona, shows how unshakable faith can make the impossible happen. Our Eyes Are on You will provide you with principles on how to strengthen your Christian faith. Without a deep and trusting relationship with God, prayer cannot be effective. Pastor Bob explores how to talk to God and get answers by first seeking a deeper relationship with Him. This guide for new and experienced Christian delves in the Bible's teachings about spiritual growth that fuels world-changing prayer. Discover more at bobsauvel.com. That's Bob, S-A-W-V-E-L-L-E.com, /our-eyes-r-on-you.
Well, I promised you an interview with Pastor Kerry Shook. I'm glad we're back. Pastor Shook is on the line. I'm so excited to welcome you to the show, Pastor Kerry. Glad you're here.
So great to be with you, Steve.
Well, I've read your book, and you've called it The Gift, and I'm going to let you tell the story rather than me try to tell it for you, and I'll ask some intervening questions. But you had a pretty tough experience with a grandson.
We did. One of our sons, Josh, and his wife, Kelly, found out they were pregnant. We were so excited for them. But it was at the 21-week examination where they found out that our grandson, Jude Samuel, that Kelly was carrying, had a kidney that didn't develop. Yeah. And he had one kidney that didn't work and one that didn't develop at all. And so we were told that there was no way that he was going to live, that babies with this condition, when they're born, they just, you know, are usually stillborn. And so we were just devastated with the news. And of course, we did what we know to do, and that's bring it to the Lord and pray. And the Lord guided us to the Children's Hospital in Cincinnati, where there were some great doctors that loved the Lord, and they were really doing some experimental things, like putting amniotic fluid, putting fluid into Kelly's womb to keep Jude's lungs growing, and some things like that that they did that were, you know, in hopes, even though the chances were really small, that he would be able to live. And the Lord gave us one day with Jude. He was born on January the 7th, 2017, and he lived one day, 24 hours before he went to be with the Lord. And of course, it was devastating to us. But as we looked back on it, we just knew that God had taught us so much from that little boy. And his one day really taught us how to live the rest of our life.
And that was a major statement that really inspired this book in your heart. But it inspired me as a reader, as a former pastor, and, you know, doing the work that I do, to hear you make that powerful of a claim as a pastor, that this little boy had such an influence on you in his one day. Tell us the biggest takeaway for you.
Well, I think one of the biggest lessons we learned, and we put these lessons in the book, is that we learned to really just pray these just for today prayers. You know, it's like, Lord, just for today, give us the wisdom we need to do what's next. Or just for today, Lord, give us the strength we need to make it through. And that's what our son and daughter-in-law, Kelly and Josh, just kept praying, and Chris and I just kept praying as they were going through these experimental treatments, and we were just praying for a miracle. And we didn't get the miracle that we wanted, but we got a great miracle. We got that day with Jude, and it really taught us to live that one day at a time. Then it sounds kind of cliche, but really, that's what we're going through right now. It's trying to, you know, getting through the hard times, you have to go one day at a time. God will give you the strength that you need just for today, and he'll get you through. And so that's what we would pray, just for today, Lord, give us what we need. Provide what we need today to make it through.
Well, Pastor, how did you avoid the pity party we all have when we feel like God hasn't answered our prayers or we didn't see the miracle, and yet you've seen it, you've prayed for it over so many hundreds of others, you've seen God touch and heal and do miracles. Did it bother you at all? Did you question? Did you have what we all have in those why questions?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, because we've seen God do so many miracles, you know, heal people physically. We just believe that God does miracles and he brings healing and he provides. And we've just seen it so many times in our life. So we knew that we were believing for God to do that. And he did it differently, and it hurt deeply. But yet our son, Josh, said, "Dad, really? We have no less days with Jude. When you think about it in light of eternity, you know, we'll be spending eternity with Jude and we'll have no less days." And even though it hurts, and we learned a lot about grief during this time. You know, a lot of times we, as Christ followers, really don't want to grieve or feel sad, but Jesus was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And when you go through grief and you really take it to the Lord, there's such a healing in that we find. And everyone grieves differently, but our church was so amazing. They allowed us to grieve. They were there for us and stood beside us. And we've seen so many people come to Christ because of Jude's life. We've just, you know, been amazed at how God could use a little boy who only lived for 24 hours, but he did exactly what God called him to do, just breathe for those 24 hours.
You know, and if we could just do our mission for 24 hours today.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. I don't know how many days I've lived, thousands upon thousands, but, you know, I think about how many days I've wasted or how many days I haven't really served the Lord the way he wanted me to, and it really just refocused us.
I want to ask you about Josh and his wife, how they're grieving now. I mean, it's past, but you never get over the hurt. How did they handle their first year and after, and how did they cope?
Well, it was really hard because, you know, it seemed like every celebration, like Mother's Day, you know, just hurt. Every celebration where, you know, when they saw other children running and playing, they were so happy for families, but yet there was a hurt there. And every time they hurt, they said they would just take that to the Lord, you know, and just give it to the Lord because, you know, and that's all we can do, but that's all we need to do. And they still miss Jude so much. You know, now God has blessed them, you know, with two more children, and it's just been a miracle, but no one will ever replace Jude. And I think that's one of the things that we learned through this time is that we talk about Jude all the time, and, you know, we talk about our grandkids. We have seven grandkids and one in heaven, and it's just something that's so healing. But we've seen them walk through this grief, and we grieve, but not as those without hope. And God has just filled us all with such hope. Good. And we know we're going to see Jude again, and we keep seeing lives being changed by how he lived his one day. And I think it prepared our whole church for the coronavirus pandemic and for everything else that's been happening in 2020 is that our church went through the gift of one day and all the lessons that God taught us. And we had no idea that life was going to get so hard, but these lessons are lessons we need each and every day.
Amen. Have they had another child yet?
Yes, they sure have. They have two more children. So Mary Love and Charlotte. They just had another little girl, Charlotte, who was just born. And we couldn't be at the hospital, Steve, because of all the coronavirus restrictions, but it was just glorious. And, God has just been so good through it all. And we've just seen God's hand every step of the way. And we'll never understand until we get to heaven why God only gave Jude the one day. But we've seen God work in so many ways through it, and it's really taught our family to live that one day at a time, depending on God for every breath.
Well, you spend an awful lot of your ministry, or I know you have in years past, as a counselor to those who are grieving. You're a grief counselor. It comes with a job. What did you learn that you're able to, that you find in your language now, as you coach and counsel and pull people through their grief? What have you been able to share that this little boy gave you?
Well, I think the biggest thing is it's just okay to grieve, you know, and I think a lot of times we as Christians think we're not supposed to ever feel sadness, but feelings are meant to be felt, and it's not that we let our feelings dictate our faith, but it's just that, you know, God wants us to express that grief to him. I look at the Psalms, and I see that David, so many of the Psalms were David just pouring out his heart in grief to God, saying, "God, I don't like this, you know," and he pours out his anger, his hurt. and God's big enough to handle it. And that's the way we heal. As long as we keep taking it to the Lord and bringing it to the Lord instead of running away from the Lord. Or a lot of times, you know, we as men stuff our grief down. And I've seen that come out in some really bad ways. You know, usually it's a derail and a midlife crisis or something. But, you know, whenever you go through hurt and pain, it's part of God's healing process that we grieve those losses, and praise God that He restores our losses, and praise God that we have heaven to look forward to. But, you know, I just think that it's so important that we don't rush people through grief, because I know a lot of times we want to make everyone happy, or we don't know what to say when someone's hurting, so we don't say anything. And we've kind of learned just to step into the awkward silence and just talk about, you know, a loved one that's gone to be with the Lord, or a hurt or a pain that someone's going through. And I think that's so important for Christ followers, that we are like our Savior, you know, that we get acquainted with grief and learn how to grieve.
Yes, sir. Well, I know that you're a man of prayer because of who you are and how long I've followed your career and your ministry. So you must have prayed a different prayer through this time. It was the first time you probably ever had to grieve in that way, the loss of an infant. And you learned a lot about prayer during that season. Could you share some of your takeaways from that?
Yeah, I think one of the big things that Chris and I learned was that, you know, we get to pray. You know, it's like we have to pray, that's for sure. You know, every day we need to depend on the Lord, but we also get to pray and get to connect with our Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, and by His Holy Spirit that just intercedes for us. And, you know, what a privilege that is, that we have a God who walks with us through every one of the tough things that we go through in life, you know. And we were just so blown away by how God would just meet us at our point of need every day. It almost was like angels were there, you know, to give us a hug or to give us a word of encouragement or to come alongside us and just give us exactly what we need at that moment. And that's what we want to be for others. You know, one of the things my wife said during this is that, you know, if you're not mistaken for an angel every day, you're doing it wrong, because we need to, there's been so many angels that have come into our lives that we're like, are you an angel? Or are you a human being God's using?
That's good. That is wisdom there. So brother, you also say in your book that you ache for Jude, and I think that's an active ache. I think it's still in you based on what I've read. I mean, you could correct me. But in that aching, you're learning a lot as well. We can ache and mourn and still not like the fact that he's gone. But you had a bigger takeaway than that. So what have you done with that as you've gotten through this?
Yeah, I think that it's made us, you know, more aware of the reality of heaven and how that just changes everything. I mean, eternity just changes everything, that we'll be with the Lord forever in heaven. And our hearts here ache. There's no doubt about it. But when our hearts ache, God fills us with peace. And, you know, really, the only time you need peace is when you're in the middle of confusion or when you're in the middle of hurting. And, boy, we needed peace desperately, and God just kept giving us that peace that passes understanding. And then it just really motivated us, too, to make sure that we just shared the gospel and we shared the power of Jesus Christ, you know, clearer and louder and stronger than ever, because that's our only hope, is that we have Jesus here now and forever. And that's what we really tried to give people in this book, is keep turning them back to the Lord, and because He's the only one that gets us through those hard days and those difficult times.
So let's compare your loss to what you see people going through today. So much suffering, a lot of fear, a lot of loss. Maybe it hasn't touched your church, but probably. There are so many people have been impacted by this virus. What did you learn from Jude that you've applied to this virus season and how you're moving through it?
Boy, it has helped us so much, because everything we learned from Jude, those lessons that little boy taught us during that time that God taught us through him, applies to what we're going through. The biggest one is that we just have to take things one day at a time, because things change from day to day. And we just pray, God, just for today, give us what we need. Give us wisdom to make decisions. And then the other thing is, there has been so much loss here in Houston. We're really going through it right now, and in such a big way. So many people have lost their job or lost loved ones or, you know, lost security, that's for sure. And it's all a matter of just, you know, one day at a time, keep turning to the Lord and letting Him meet those needs in our lives. And one of the things that we really have found out is that when God takes you to a place that's worse than normal, and that's the way we all feel right now, we all want to get back to normal.
Yes.
But I think God doesn't want us to ever go back to normal again. You know, normal as far as spending time with Him, normal as far as putting a priority on our families. God wants us to go to better than normal. I really believe that. I don't know all the reasons why God has allowed this, but I do know that God is using this to turn us and our nation back to Him. I don't think He ever wants us to go back to normal. He wants us to go to a place that's better than normal, where we're closer to Him, where we're really connected with our families, doing the priorities that God has called us to do, yes, being men and women of God. And I just think that we started feeling that urgency to not waste a moment, you know, with Jude. And that's the way we feel now, is that in the middle of this pandemic, God wants to do great things in our hearts and lives.
Amen.
But He doesn't want us to go back to normal. He wants us to go to a place, many times it's a breakthrough that He has for us, that He'll take us back so that we'll have the momentum to get over that barrier. You know, it's kind of like when you're at a creek and you want to jump over it. Well, to jump over it, you usually have to step back several feet to get a running start, to get
that's
that momentum.
Good.
And that's the way it is with, you know, we all feel like we've gone backwards, you know, in the economy and finances and, you know, just so many areas. You know, we feel like we've gone backwards. You know, a lot of people's businesses have just fallen apart.
And that's right.
But yet when God brings us backwards, there's always this barrier that He wants us to get over that we couldn't have really overcome without that time of moving back, so we can move forward in a big way.
So what kind of condition do you find your church in, your local body, the big church that it is, in multiple locations? What's your current health? How do you feel about it?
Well, I feel like that God is up to something great in our church. And it feels really strange because, you know, I'm preaching to an empty auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And but yet more people are connecting than ever online. And
right,
we can't wait until we get back to meeting in our physical locations and it's overflowing and all those things. But God has allowed this time for us to really turn to Him. And I mm-hmm. think that there's a repentance in all of this that God calls us to really repent of trusting in other things other than Him, and just to get right back to falling on our knees and just saying, Lord, we need You desperately. And we always have. It's just we don't always realize it. But right now we realize it a lot more. And I feel like that in our congregation, you know, everyone is, you know, really more in tune with what, God, what do You want us to do today? Because we need You desperately. And I just see God doing a great work in our hearts, even though it's kind of like in our situation with Jude, it's not looking like anything that we would have asked for or prayed for,
mm-hmm.
but God's using it because He knows what we need.
Yes. So how are you actively pastoring besides your teaching work and your ministry? Have you done anything unusual during this time to try to reach out and touch folks, your ministry staff? How are you responding mm-hmm. to the needs that are out there, that there are so many?
Well, the way we're doing it is, first, we're responding to the needs in our church, and there's so many that have needs right now. And so we're just trying to, you know, we took a need survey for everyone in our church. Is it a financial need? Is it, you know, mental health need? Is it counseling? Is it prayer? What are your needs? And so we started connecting people in our church with those who have needs and meeting needs, physical needs, financial needs. And then we've been meeting the needs of the medical professionals. We've given thousands of meals to medical professionals, you know, that are trying to, you know, work the 12-hour shifts and beyond, and just, you know, anything we can do for them. We've actually gone to hospitals, and we have caravans of cars that go to hospitals and just pray for all the people in the hospitals and the medical professionals, and then we provide thousands of meals. And a lot of times we've connected with business people in the church whose restaurants were really in trouble, but the church then will buy the meals and then we'll give them out. And it helps the business people that are trying to keep their restaurants afloat, and it also meets the needs of the medical professionals. And just any little thing is so appreciated now. You know, a lot of times we look and we see these giant needs, and we think, how can we do that? But the first step is always just to love the one in front of you and just take one little step, and then God can take it from there.
So what have you already decided to take with you from this learning, that some action that you've taken or that the church is now doing? What's going with you into the new normal?
Well, the big thing is just believing that God is up to something great, and then just obeying. I think that the just for today prayer, God, just for today, give us what we need just for today, then turns into, okay, God, we want to obey you, because he'll tell us to take a step of faith. And a lot of times it's not a giant leap of faith, because there are many times, Steve, where Chris and I want to do something big and great for God, and God says, I don't need you to do anything big and great for us. I just need you to take a step of faith and obey, and I'll do the big and great thing through you and in you. And so we're just learning to take one step at a time, and God is opening up these huge doors. And so we're just trying to teach our congregation one day at a time, one step at a time. That's all you have to do, and God will lead you into everything he has for you. A lot of times we're looking to find the right path in our life, but if you're looking to Jesus, the right path will find you.
Amen. That's a good word. That'll preach, brother. What, what about your time management? What lessons have you learned during this virus? It seems like all of our what we thought was important and were so easily distracted by, our distractions have changed. Our quality of production is different. We have to produce in different ways. What have you learned about your time management that will go forward for you?
Yeah, I think it reminds Chris and I a lot of our time with Josh and Kelly in Cincinnati at the hospital and trying to help them along during that time, because it's like everything in our lives just came to a halt. You know, all the normal routines just came to a halt, and it was just very uncomfortable. And we had to come up with a new normal, a way of doing things. And the same thing has happened with the coronavirus. And the most important thing that we've learned is that every day we wake up and we go right to our knees. First thing we do on the side of our bed, and we just say, God, we dedicate this day to you. Help us to just follow you today. And that little thing really can help reprogram your whole mindset. And just kneeling at your bedside. And then another thing that we've asked all of our pastors to do that we've tried to do is then spend 10 minutes in silence with God, just being still and knowing that he is God, you know, just letting him work in your life and speak to your heart. And just 10 minutes, and that 10 minutes, Steve, I have to admit, as many times seemed like an hour, you know, just to be, to stop and be still.
I was going to ask you about that. 10 minutes seems like an hour. That's rough.
But, yeah, after I asked our staff to do that, and then, of course, I had to do it because, you know, to lead the way. And I thought, maybe I should have just said 5 minutes because, you know, I mean, you're ready to do something, either pray or read your Bible or or just be in silence, you know, and try to listen to the Lord. And but it's been a great habit over these weeks to develop that. And it really just another way of readjusting my mindset to say that God is the one who's going to give me the power and strength. His Holy Spirit is going to be the one who's going to do the moving and the shaking, and I'm just going to be used of him. And so that changes everything.
So, Pastor, on a personal note, do you have a book that you found over your ministry that you give away more than any other? I know it can come and go in seasons, but any outside book, maybe one of yours, another one, that you guys have written so many, maybe it's one of those, or do you have another book that you tend to give away a lot?
Well, I tell you, one of the books that for Chris and I that's meant so much, and it was a book that after she came to know Jesus, her family didn't know the Lord at the time, and she really was looking for what is this all about, and it was Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, and it just made everything, opened up her eyes and made sense, you know, and just, and that's, I think that's one that means so much, you know, to us both in that way. And then I think that, you know, we try to give people our book, One Month to Live, a lot, you know, to try to, you know, instill in them the urgency to trust the Lord and to follow him.
It's a good word. So I'll leave you with a last thought, Pastor, to share with this audience. Come, Holy Spirit. And when you say that, what are you thinking now? Where are we headed in the immediate, tomorrow? What's immediate for us the next few days? What would you say to the listeners to encourage them and pray the Spirit would guide them?
I think the Holy Spirit is moving Chris and I, our church, and I think maybe, you know, the whole world to just, for a pause, just to stop and to and to turn back to him, you know, to repent of all the things in our lives that have kept us from putting him first, and to turn to him, and for our nation to turn to him. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit is preparing us for a great revival. I just, in our own hearts and lives and in our nation. And I think that things could get tougher
Yes.
Before they get better. But I'm telling you, God has something great coming.
I believe
something
you.
Great. And he's saying, don't give up, hold on, because I'm coming and I'm bringing something great. I really believe with all my heart that God has a good and an amazing plan.
Yes.
That he's fulfilling. And we don't understand it always, but those good things are coming. And
yes.
I believe that God is going to do so much restoration, and he's going to rebuild the ruined cities and
yes.
restore the age-old foundations. And I'm just glad that I get to be part of that.
Amen. What a perfect way to end the podcast. Pastor, I know you're so busy. I thank you for carving out some time for us and for writing this book. You and Chris have put together a book. It's called The Gift of One Day, How to Find Hope When Life Gets Hard. And I don't know about you, but I think now qualifies as hard. So this book can definitely, when is it released? It's pretty soon, isn't it?
Yeah, it just came out. So it's out. It's available now. You can get it on any platform.
Okay. And how about a website to connect with you or your church?
Yeah, it's wc.org. Or you can go to carrieshook.org.
Okay. Well, I hope we'll sell a lot of books for you. We're going to recommend this book to the highest. It's such an important read, and I think it'll really have an impact on your life. So I strongly recommend it, and I sure hope people will go get it.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for being with me. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my great editor and producer, Adley, we want to say one more time, The Gift of One Day, How to Find Hope When Life Gets Hard, is a gift for you, for your family, and at least a giveaway to others. God bless you all.